Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Sketches. I appreciate you taking the time to join me for another brief lesson from the Bible's big picture. Well, before we get started today, I just want us to think for a minute about what it means to have a conviction, what it means to do something from the heart, like you really understand and get it, what you're doing. I'm reminded of the story that I heard as a kid about the young man trying to find a job and just really having a hard time finding a job that he could do until one day he applied at a bakery store. And the baker says to him, "This is a super easy job. I'm sure you can do it. There's three things you do." "So okay, I can learn three things," he said. The boy said. The baker says, "This is what you say. When someone asks you how much, you say 25 cents. 25 cents. 25 cents. I can do that." Okay. And they ask you how fresh, you say very fresh. Very fresh. Very fresh. I can remember that. Very fresh. Okay. And then when they tell you what they're going to do, doesn't matter what they say, just if they tell you what you're going to do, just say, "If you don't, someone else will." Well, this seemed pretty easy. Three things to remember. And sure enough, he had a great day. His first day on the job went pretty well and made lots of money for the business, sold lots of bread. He was a happy camper until at the very end of the day, a masked man with a gun came in the store. He was startled. The man said to him, "How much is in the register?" 25 cents. Sorry. And the masked man said, "Are you being fresh with me?" Very fresh. Sorry. And the burglar looks at him real close and says, "Do you know I could shoot you? If you don't, someone else will." So you can see here, doing all the right things is kind of pointless if you don't know why you're doing them. And this is what the kind of lesson that we're going to learn here if we look in the life of Joash, what it means to do things with conviction. If you recall from 2 Chronicles 23, where we left off last week, Joash has been installed as the king of Judah because of the great courage and faithfulness of his uncle Jehoiada, who is the priest. And his mere existence as king is a testament to the faithfulness of others in Joash's life. But what about Joash? How does he turn out? What are his convictions? Well, we get a little picture of that from the introduction of chapter 24, 2 Chronicles 24. I want to read you this, verse number 2. Scripture says, "And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest." Or to put it another way, you could say Joash did that which was right for a while. And he was really a good king when you think about it. And the scripture has a little biography of what he did, namely his work in the temple. It says in verse 4, "And it came to pass after this," after he was installed as a king, "that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord." And so he goes about collecting money for the expenses to get it repaired and hiring the workers to do it. And all the work is done, as it says in verse 13. "The workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it." And so everything was really great. Started off well, did a bunch of improvements to the house of the Lord. Commendable work. But then something happens. Jehoiada dies. Look with me in verses 15. "But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house." So here we have Jehoiada dying and passing away, who had greatly influenced Joash. And now we're going to find out what kind of man Joash is, where his heart is. Look here with me at verse 17. "Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass." Quite a sad state of affairs in just a brief amount of time. The amount of time it takes to attend a funeral and resume business, we have Joash falling in with bad company and following bad advice. And it wouldn't be so much that he just had a bad sense of judgment and who his friends were, but it affects Joash. He does things as a result of this heart to follow after men. It gets so bad that the scripture says that Zechariah, a priest, stands up against him. We'll read these here. It says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest." So if you imagine for a minute here, Joash being raised as kind of like the foster son of Jehoiada, Zechariah would have been like his, like a brother to him. They would have been raised as brothers, both by Jehoiada, right? "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehoiada, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them," the people, "Thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you." So he's confronting the children of Israel for their wickedness. And what did Joash do? Does he chime in and say, "You're right, Zechariah, that I have just had a lapse of judgment here"? No, unfortunately not. The scriptures say, "And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord." The same court of the house of the Lord that Jehoiada refused to execute Athaliah in. As wicked as she was, Jehoiada would not let that court of the Lord be defiled with Athaliah's blood. And here, Joash is slaying Zechariah the prophet in the same court, this holy place. Well, this is quite a fall from grace. It says, the scriptures, "Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son." And that is just such a sad testament on a man who was for so many years doing right things for the Lord at the council of Jehoiada. Well, as we can probably imagine, Jehoiada suffers a humiliating fate, and the scriptures summarize his life in verse 25. We'll read these here as we wrap things up. It says, "And when they," that is the Syrians, "were departed from him," because they attacked him, "they left him in great diseases. His own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchers of the kings." And so there ends the sad tale of Joash, the king, who had no personal convictions, who did not do that which is right from the heart. And it just really revealed that, you know, Joash's apostasy revealed that he was doing good to please others, essentially, to some extent. And we see in Joash just another example of what an inferior king looks like, what all the kings of Judah and Israel cannot do, and that is walk righteously and perfectly before God as God has expected his leaders to do for his people. Now, from this sketch of Joash's life, we can draw several important lessons. The number one important lesson we can draw, and I just want to, I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I want to mention it, is that Joash's failure helps us to learn something about the perfection of the true Messiah to come. Christ the King will be perfect in every possible way. And we as people who are failed and finite creatures don't understand how complete and beautiful perfection looks like. And so these little illustrations of failure help us to see, wow, that is a very complex thing that Christ is. That is a very beautiful thing that the Messiah will be, because he will be something that no one else has ever been, as many as there have been who have tried. And so that's really the big idea from the scriptures, is to help us understand a look at what perfection is. But on a practical level, okay, on a practical level, we can learn something here from Joash that applies to true discipleship as a Christian. What is true discipleship look like? Well, as you can imagine, being a true disciple involves a lot more than following the advice of others. You need to follow good advice, but it's more than that. It's more than following good advice. Real disciples internalize God's word in their heart. We have a word for that. We call it developing convictions. You might have heard someone say, "Man, he speaks with conviction," or "He works with passion." Well, that's speaking to the fact that in a spiritual sense, you have internalized God's word in your heart. And so a real disciple will do that, whereas a phony disciple or a false disciple will not. They will not have that inside their heart and their core. So at best, if you're a true disciple of Christ, at best, what good counsel does for you is it helps you confirm maybe some pre-existing spiritual notions that you might have. That's what good counsel is designed to do. It's designed to guide you to, like, guardrails on a highway. It's not to move you forward. It's to keep you from moving off. And this is what David does in when he's a king with Nathan the prophet. David thinks, he gets an inclination in his heart. I'm going to build a house to the Lord. And so what does he do? He goes to Nathan the prophet and says, I want to build a house for the Lord. Is this a good idea? And Nathan says, yes, it is. And you know the end of the story. Nathan actually goes to the Lord for advice. And the Lord has a different plan for David. But the Lord commended David for having that thought of serving God in that way. And so the prophet was merely there to confirm what God was doing and purposing in his heart. Well, compare someone like David to what we saw in Joash. Joash apparently has no moorings spiritually. He has no inertia spiritually. He has no convictions spiritually. There's nothing there in his heart from God to direct him. He is completely and absolutely 100% blind to spiritual things without someone else. And that's not what a true disciple looks like. Reminded of the passage in 1 John, it says, you need not that any man teach you. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Does that mean we know everything? Absolutely not. That's why we have others to help us stay in our boundaries biblically. But we are not absent of spiritual guidance. This is why Pastor Jack and I are very careful to preach sermons to you that are based on a strict exposition of the Scriptures. In other words, based the point of our sermons and our messages is a reflection of the point of the Scriptures. We try to avoid preaching topical messages where we gather a bunch of verses that say what we're already thinking and share them with you. We try to take what the Word of God says and help you understand what it says for yourself, so that as you see us connecting the dots for you, as you see us developing ideas and applications from the Scriptures, you can get in the habit of doing that yourself, so that you can know God's Word in your heart. We want you to be as comfortable and as familiar with the Scriptures as we are. We do not try to hide it from you. We do not try to monopolize it. We want to help you be a disciple of Christ yourself. So that after years of listening to our preaching, it's like you would be more like a David, who is a man after God's own heart, who is following and pleasing God instead of men, and less like a Joash, someone who is spiritually ignorant of everything and only able to please men. Good preaching, good teaching will help with that. And that's why it's important that you see the Scriptures for yourselves when we study them. Well, this has been a really neat kind of observation, but I want to ask you to observe something here in these verses. I've shared these verses from the life of Joash to get you thinking on this topic, but what could we learn? We saw from the perspective of God, his perfection as a king, from the perspective of Joash, what a true disciple is or is not. But what about from Jehoiada's perspective? What if you were in Jehoiada's shoes? You probably are. There are people right now in your life that you are training to some extent. What can you and I do to train others for spiritual success? What are some biblical keys that we need to put into practice? Well, there's a lot of things, and I'm not going to share everything from my end, but I'd like you to consider what those keys are, and post them here as ideas in the comments. And that way we can discuss them here next week. Speaking of next week, I just want to again remind you that we will be looking ahead into the next king. We'll be looking at the life of Hezekiah, and I'm really excited to share this lesson from Hezekiah's life about the motivation for prayer. What should motivate us to pray? So thank you once again for joining me now for this brief lesson in 2 Chronicles 24. May the mind of Christ our Savior be with you this week. God bless you.